Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is truth. And Father God, the word must be spoken in truth, but also in love. Because truth spoken in anger is a lie. And so, Father, we pray, Lord God, that truth would be spoken in love in this place, Father God. We pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would grant unction to thy servant, O Lord. And Father, we pray, God, that you would be glorified always. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have an agreement in the house? Amen. Thank you. Praise be to God. You know, in Mission BC this week, it was announced, actually it was before this week, but it was announced, it was actually going back to last year. Last year at Father's Day, there was a controversy yet again when a gay couple, lesbian couple in this particular case, was confronted with the issue of Father's Day. Their kid or children, I can't remember which, was offended, brought it home. They were offended. And so this year, Mission BC, with their left-winger council, decided that the school board would not have Father's Day or Mother's Day, of course, because if you're going to get rid of Father's Day, you've got to get rid of Mother's Day as well. So no pictures, nothing going home in Mission BC in the public school board in that particular area. The church of Jesus Christ is to speak clarity in this mixed-up generation of gender confusion. In fact, it is our place to bring clarity. Yes, I use that word, clarity. And to point the world to the Creator. To point the world to the Creator and to expose and reveal and to have manifested His impact, His viewpoint, His understanding to reveal it. In fact, as we look at that, we will find that mothers are His co-workers in creation. Mothers are His agents of compassion. Mothers are His vessel of comfort and His agents of instruction. Now, today I have a difficult job, not because it's Mother's Day, because I had a godly mother. It was with her this week. Amen? That's not the difficulty. It's to take what the issue of the theological principle that we're in our series on foundations on the Holy Spirit and sanctification, and merge that with Mother's Day. I thought it would be a difficult thing, but as I begin to look at the Holy Spirit, and as I begin to think of moms, I begin to think how well God's Spirit has revealed Himself in moms. Part of the image of God, as we've been looking and studying over these past few weeks, is what is called, the Holy Spirit is called the third person of the triunity of God. Then the Holy Spirit, in some ways we can see how the Holy Spirit in His role and His function among believers is sort of the feminine side of God. Now again, I am trying not to confuse us. I'm trying to speak clarity into this world, but it is interesting that the Spirit of God does seem to have the attributes that we would exalt as the motherly attributes of God. We poor mortals have a hard time understanding God Almighty anyways, but we do know that God created us in His image. Male and female created He them. And so, while we're not going to take a shift to the left, and we're not going to say the Lord's Prayer, Our Mother which art in heaven, or anything like that, I still want to show that there is some comparison about the Holy Spirit. One might well see the ministry of the Spirit of God like that of our earthly mothers. It kind of makes sense because we have the manifestation of the Father and the Son with clear masculine roles. Now that does not in any way take away or demean my understanding of the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is no less God, but the Spirit of God is God. Amen? The Spirit of God is God at work in our lives. And the first role of the Spirit of God, I think we have it up here. I added a tie to Pastor Dan because he didn't have one there. You see what we can do? The first one that we can do is the first thing that the Spirit of God does is the Spirit of God gives birth to us. Now, ain't that a mother role? I think that Brother Barry there, that was your great revelation of motherhood. Thanks, Mom, because if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be here. Absolutely true, brother. You're such a genius. That's why we have you on the board. Amen. The reality is, without the Spirit of God, none of us would be here. None of us would be born. None of us would be born again, because it is the Spirit of God that does it. If you want to turn to John chapter 3, you'll find it all written there. In John chapter 3, verse 3, we find old Nicodemus, a leader in Israel, a man of instruction, a man of wisdom, a man of teaching. He comes to Jesus by night because he's embarrassed maybe a little bit. Doesn't want his buddies to find out. And he comes and he tells Jesus, "We know." And he said the "we." It wasn't just him. He said, "We know that you're from God." Whatever they might say out in public or whatever they might say, "We know you're from God," because nobody does these things unless they're from God. And he begins to, he says, I could use a little teaching from you. I don't want anyone to know. I know I'm a teacher in Israel, but I would like a little teaching from you. Could you teach me a little? Just give me a little bit of advice. Give me that one. Give me something. Give me something. Jesus says to him, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus says this. He says, "How am I, an old man, able to crawl back up inside of my mother," that's what he says, "and be born a second time?" And then Jesus redirects him, as you know, in this text of Scripture, and he says, we're talking about spiritual birth. We're not talking about natural birth or birth of water, but we're talking about birth by the Spirit of God. This is what he says. John chapter 3, verse 6. You want to read it? It says this: "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is of God." And so it is the Spirit of God that gives birth to us. It is the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and makes the child of God. You've been here around 20 years, you'll have heard me say that a few times because it's true. It is the Spirit of God who takes the Word of God and makes the child of God. It is the Spirit that gives birth to us. We are born again by the Spirit of God. Nothing can compare with the relationship between a godly mother and a child. In a similar way, nothing can really compare to the pure relationship that the Spirit of God has with God's children. In fact, it is the Spirit of God that somehow uniquely joins with your spirit. Down deep, and we've been going over this for the last several months, it is the Spirit of God that uniquely joins with your spirit. And so that's how you become a child of God. Without the Spirit of God, we wouldn't be born. That's the number one identification of the mothering Spirit of God. The second thing, second of all, without the Spirit of God, we wouldn't be fed. We wouldn't grow. We wouldn't be nurtured. We wouldn't walk. I think I used it in this sense here on the part two, if you could just turn to number two, is that there's Pastor Dan. He does have a tie on there. Thank you for his parents for dressing him up. But God's mothering spirit, second of all, teaches us how to walk. It teaches us, the Spirit of God feeds us, the Spirit of God nurtures us, the Spirit of God helps us how to walk. If you're already in John chapter 3, then it won't be far for you to turn to John chapter 14. Wouldn't mind a little rustling of the leaves here, children. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says this. John chapter 14, verse 16. This is Jesus in the upper room getting ready to go to be with the Father, getting ready to give his life as a sacrifice for our sin. In verse 16, he says this: "I will ask the Father," this is the Son speaking, so you have all the triune nature of God at work, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you," that is the church, that is the disciples, "another helper, that he may be with you forever. that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Cannot receive. Because it does not see him, nor does it know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. John chapter 20, later on, the Spirit of God, Jesus, breathes on the disciples, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God was with Israel in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God was with John the Baptist. The Spirit of God was with the disciples. And he says it's going to get even better than that, because the Spirit of God's going to be in you. That's a good deal. And so we have from this, we have this first thing. Look at it. It says, forever. It is the intention of God that the Spirit of God will always be there for the believer. We even know who our Father is. That is to say, our Father in heaven. How do we know who our Father is? How do we know that He is our Father? Because the Bible says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Book of Romans. That's the way we even know that we're children of God. The Spirit of God in there, interconnected with our spirit, tells us, reminds us, gives us what we call assurance, and shows us and reveals to us that we are, in fact, the children of God. The Spirit of God rocks us. The Spirit of God holds us. The Spirit of God pours the love of God into us by His Spirit. And when we're going through troubled times, and when we go through the times of doubt, we go through the times of being afraid, it is the Spirit of God that coddles us and reveals the heart of the Father and reveals the message of Jesus and says, child, everything's going to be all right. That's the Spirit of God. He reiterates the words of Jesus because it is the message and the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the message of Jesus from the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, and the Spirit of God says to us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In John chapter 14, he says in verse 25, look down further to verse 25 of this, he says this, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but verse 26, but the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Again, you have the triune nature of God being revealed. God, all God, at work in our lives. He says this, let me read it again. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. There is authority here. Our sister, little sister, talked about authority in the church. And how that if you rebel against authority, God's given authority, it won't be well for you. But if you submit and work with and allow God's authority, way He's communicated to, God will bless. Here is God. Here's the authority of God. It comes in Jesus' name. He said, He, that is the Spirit of God, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said unto you. You know, I wish that we could all know chapter and verse of the Bible. I will tell you this, I'm not so good at chapter and verse. Maybe that'll be a relief to some of you. Maybe some of you feel guilty and say, I can't remember, what's that verse? I know what it says, but I can't remember the chapter and I can't remember the verse. Well, I want to remind you that the Bible was written without chapters and verses. So the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God through these men of God, there was no chapters and verses. Man added that later. So, you know, really, it's not chapter and verse. It is what the Spirit of God has said through the Word of God. All right? Maybe that'll release you from some guilt. And where is that found? It's not about where is that found. What is it that's found? And the Spirit of God will take those words and will bring those words. You just fill yourself up with the Word, children, and the Spirit of God will bring the Word up. Amen? And He will teach you. He will remember. And what will He teach you? He will teach you, He says, He will tell you the stories of me. Did your mother ever tell you a bedtime story? Wasn't that a nice time to have? We gave out some Bible bedtime stories some time ago. And if you ever need one, I'll order another one for somebody because I think it's such a valuable tool. I think there's nothing like a mother or a father. We're focusing on moms today, so we're using the mom illustration, but there's nothing like a mom sitting there and reading a Bible story to her child. It's a wonderful thing. Well, God's Spirit, He gives us a bedtime story. It's the Spirit of God that reveals and testifies of what Jesus has done for us. He will remind us what Jesus has done for us. That's a good thing. In verse 8, it says this of chapter 16. Keep turning. We're going to chapter 16. In chapter 16, in verse 8, here's what the Spirit says. And when He, the Spirit of God, comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and of the judgment concerning sin because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. So there's a purpose in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God convicts of sin. Sometimes earthly mothers convict of sin. Actually, sometimes earthly mothers call it, we call it maybe guilt. Do you ever have mama guilt? Well, it's the Spirit of God convicts. The Spirit of God doesn't just make us guilty. That may be that's a mistake. And in fact, it's the law that brings guilt. But they mean well. Amen? My mother this week, I went to see my mother. I drove up. Here was the plan, people. I looked at my schedule and said, I can squeeze Mom in there. I'm going to go to the Sioux. And so Monday, I wasn't even sure I was leaving. And then it looked like, okay, I can make it. I can make a run for it because her birthday was last Sunday and then it's Mother's Day this Sunday. And so, you know, the extra heap is on, you know, to do something for Mom. And so Tuesday morning, I took off. Hallelujah. Drive all day, get there. And then I was going to stay a day and then I was going to come back. You know, because I had seniors' stuff on Friday, service and a service at the manor and whatever else, so I had to come back. And anyways, so one thing, here I am, breakfast, the day that I have with Mom. And it's a retirement home, and there's the other ladies and gentlemen that are there, and my mother, dear mother, who never makes a thing about anything, and she says, I just want to let you all know this is my son here. They know who I am. And I'm so glad that he took time out of his busy schedule to come and visit me. I know I don't often have visitors. So I just want you to see my son. And we've got to enjoy today because he's so busy that he can't spend 2 days with his mother. He can only spend this one day with his mother, and he's got to drive all the way back because there's such important church things for him to do. Something like that. So I stayed 2 days. I phoned Carol. I said, do I have the... Anyways, and I said, what's going on? And stuff. And she says, stay another day with her. So anyways, so I ended up staying the 2 days. So one day driving, 1 day, 2 days, and then 1 day driving back. So anyways, but that's what moms do. And the Spirit of God, but He does it a better way. Amen. Spirit of God brings conviction. Verse 13, it says this, and it says, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all truth. You notice that? I like that. You know, again, it's not forced. It's gentle. It's not, this is what you have to do. It's, take my hand. I want to show you something. Would you come? Don't you like that when the Spirit of God just takes your hand? I want to show you something. I want to, I scare you? I woke somebody up, did I? Oh, I woke her up. Oh, okay. You know, that's good, amen. That's what a preacher does. Amen. They don't know when I'm going to shout, so they wakes them up too at the back. So, but you know, the Spirit of God, you know, just takes you. Come on, I want to show you something. Did your mom ever do that to your grandma? My grandma used to take me all the time and take me out to the bush and whatnot, and she got a bit of native in her, anyway, she knows all the plants and she knows everything that's used for medicine for every kind of thing, and all those are times. Yeah, I want to show you something. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. I mean, how many times did my grandma tell you, I want to show you something. Bruce, I'm glad you came. I show up, get off my bike, come into grandma's place, and she says, I want to show you something. Because, you know, in her mind, she'd be thinking of me. And then the next time I would show up, I want to show you something. I mean, it would be a four-leaf clover that she picked in the front yard, or it would be something or whatever it may be, but there was always this gentleness, I want to show you something. This is what the Spirit of God does for us, for those that are tuned into the Holy Spirit, is He says, I want to show you something. I want to reveal something to you. I want to take you somewhere. Would you come with me? Nothing forced about it. Nothing mean about it. Nothing angry about it. but just a gentleness about it. I want to show you something. I want to reveal something to you. Here's what you need. Here's where I want you to take you. Notice that the maternal word guide. You know that you can say no, though. You can say no to the Holy Spirit very easily. Because the Spirit of God isn't screaming in your ear, because the Spirit of God isn't condemning you for what you're not doing right, because the Spirit of God is gentle, the Spirit of God reaches out the hand, so to speak, and wants to take you somewhere, you can say, no, I don't want to go there. The Bible is quite clear about this. The Bible says that we can resist the Holy Spirit. The Bible is quite clear. It says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit by choosing our own way over the Spirit's way. How often have we resisted the Holy Spirit today? How often have we grieved the Holy Spirit because we wanted to go our own way? Because when the Spirit of God came and says, I want to show you something, we said, no, I'm too busy over here looking at this. I don't have time for what you have to show me. How many times have we ignored the Spirit's prompting? How many times have we done that to God? How many times have we done that to our own mothers? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 says, a foolish son is a heaviness upon his mother. A foolish son is a heaviness. Oh, you feel that? Oh. It's a grieving. That's what he's saying. Basically, a foolish son is a grieving to his mother, and it's a heaviness. And that's what it is, the Spirit of God. You can allow religious flesh to rise up, and you can quench the Spirit of God by drowning out the Spirit of God with your own noise. The noise of your own will. Proverbs chapter 30 says this about a mother's instruction. This is kind of gross stuff here. The eye that despises his mother's instruction shall be plucked out by the ravens. Gross. Jerry's making a picture right now. I can just see him at work there. He's eye gore and blood. And somebody give him a red pen so you can use. So you can add the gore to it. But you know, he's already got it. You know, the eye. The one that despises his mother's teaching, it says the raven, which is the symbol actually is the world. The ravens are the symbols of the world, or the carnal things will rob you of spiritual sight. And the body will be eaten by the vultures. This is what happens to one that ignores the instructions of his mom. My goodness. And we know that if we ignore the instruction of the Spirit of the living God, that we'll lose our spiritual sight, that we won't be able to see clearly, that we will get fumbling through it because it'll be darkness, because the Spirit gives light. The third thing that the Spirit of God does for us is the work of sanctification, cleansing. You know, I thank the various ones for giving these pictures. Families have submitted these pictures over the years. And anyways, for your entertainment value, no matter where you... actually, it's not my fault, it's the families, right? So anyways, over the years, mothers have been involved in cleansing. Amen? Mothers have been involved in cleaning. I mean, you come into this world, the Spirit of God brings birth to you, and the Spirit of God does this and what. Not all kids are cute, all right? It's just the way it is. The Spirit of God, and then the next thing is you poop yourself. Who's going to clean it up? Dad? Not likely. Not very likely. Oh, sure. Eventually... Yeah? Okay, I got to clear it. We know who cleans them up. And we know who keeps them clean. And we know who bathes them. And we know who gets their little outfits together. You know, it's not the men. It's the mothers. Throughout the generations, it's the moms who've been there to wash, to cleanse. Every one of us has that one picture that somebody took of us buck naked. Y'all have one? You don't have it. Somebody else has it. And it will show up at your graduation from high school. It will show up at your reception for your wedding. It will show up somewhere, all right? Especially with multimedia. They showed up right now, but I have them all clothed, more or less. You know, it's actually, you know. Anyways, that one picture, I was of you in the tub, because there's something about a kid in a tub that they have to take a picture of at some point, right? I don't know if it's legal or not, but anyways, but everybody does it. Everybody takes a picture. And I was doing a baby dedication last year in Perth, outside of Perth, a house dedication place was packed with family members and whatnot. And anyways, they started giggling in the back. My dear aunt, 82-year-old Aunt Joyce, who looked after me when my mother was a school teacher and until the time that I was going to grade one, she looked after me, put me on the school bus when I was in kindergarten and came off the bus. It was only half days, and she took care of me when Mom was teaching school and whatnot. Anyways, this lovely little old lady was passing around a picture of me buck naked. They will do that to you. And she said, I've got my clerical collar on and I have my stole on and I'm all dressed up, you know, because I'm doing an official baby dedication in a home there, christening. And anyways, and she's going, this is what the minister used to look like. This is what the minister used to look like. They'll show it. She should be arrested for that. Anyways, no. But it is the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and cleanses the child of God. For we are washed by the Word. The Scripture says in Corinthians 6, if you could turn to the next slide, if you could. It has this, but Paul said this to a group of people that had really been through an awful lot of stuff. And the whole list of sin is there, but he says this. He turns to this and he says, but you are washed. Doesn't matter what you did in the past. Doesn't matter what lifestyle. He mentions some nasty stuff there. He mentions homosexuality and thievery. He mentioned blasphemy. He mentions all. He said, doesn't matter. He says, you've all been washed. He says, you've been sanctified. You see, sanctification is a washing. He said, but you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Who's the one that washes us up when we get ourselves dirty? Who's the one that changes our diapers when we mess ourselves? You could say Mom or the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that has to clean up our messes. Thank God for the Spirit of the living God. I'm glad that I'm a holiness believer. I'm a believer in sanctification, but I believe it is both as a crisis and as a process. There are times in our life where we need a crisis sanctification, where we need deliverance, where there is something that is on the inside that is an ally with something that is on the outside, and we need to go to the altar, whatever it may be. We need to get it taken out, sanctified, delivered, whatever the terminology. There are times of crisis where we will come to a point where something is besetting us and something that is keeping us down, and all of a sudden, praise God, it's taken out of the way. The Spirit of God does an amputation. The Spirit of God goes in there and does a real sanctification cleansing, and that thing is no longer causing us grief or pain. But more often than not, it is the Spirit of God that brings us into a daily relationship, a daily cleansing, a daily walking. You see, if we will walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Most of the time, it is the Spirit that is cleansing our soul, making us more into the image of Jesus. But that involves us daily yielding up so the Spirit can have His way, that God can produce the fruit of the Spirit of God. I'm not sure if you've seen the commercials about debt. I think they're a good illustration about somebody with debt on their back, this guy with a red shirt, you know, and they're going to work and they got this guy in their back, and they go here and there and they got this guy in their back, and, you know, debt is something, and then they meet with the whatever company it is, the financial counselor, and debt has to get off their back. Praise God, that is a scene of the Spirit of God giving deliverance and removing and taking away the things that are a burden to us. But you know what? Many times it's us that's riding on the Spirit of God because we can't even walk ourselves. The story is told in 1972, a Chinese toddler fell off a table and was in a coma for 7 days. His name was Hu Yen Chan. In the remote village that he was in, and we thank God that we actually support missionaries, the Bajenzis, that are out there doing the work of God, taking the ones that are abandoned and bringing them in, and we support them financially, and I want you to keep praying for them. But here was 1972, this child fell down and was in a coma, and when the child came out of a coma, all the cognitive issues were irreparable. He was not able to walk, he was not able to talk, he was not able to do anything. With no money, with no resources, and with a mother that did not want him to get the bed sores by simply laying there day after day, she decided to pick up her son and carry him to work in the field, the rice fields, carry him to work everywhere she went. And in 2012, she was 75 years old, and she was still carrying him. At that time, she was 40 kilograms, a little old lady. And he was a 40-year-old, weighing 80 kilograms. When asked by the Tampai, the city news reporter, why she did it, she said, "Because he's my son." That's it. I'm his mom. Why does the Spirit of God put up with us? I've been a big bother to God, you know that? Sometimes I've just been dead weight. I've learned to take a few steps at times. Got up, made a few steps. With the Spirit's help, by the way. But I fall down. You know what happens when I fall down? He picks me up again. Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God is active in your life? In the past, mothers have reflected the work of the Holy Spirit, and we thank God for moms today. But at the same time, I also thank God for the Holy Spirit, for His love for us. If you would come to the piano, sister. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you and we honor moms today because they really reflect the work of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, today for the Spirit's work in giving birth to us. Lord, I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice has been born not just of the flesh and has a natural mother, but has been born of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, for everyone today that, Lord, that they would be willing and open to the teaching of the Holy Spirit to help them to walk, to help them to grow, to feed them, to mature, to allow the Spirit of God to feed them the good nutrition of the Word of God. Lord, there's nothing more embarrassing, there's nothing more sad than a malnourished Christian. There's nothing more sad than to watch those children in Africa or others that just mothers just don't have the capacity or the food to watch a malnourished child. Thank you, Lord God, that when we make a mess of ourselves and we just don't seem to be able to get ourselves out of the mess and it's embarrassing and we're the point of ridicule by others around us, that like a mother, you love us unconditionally, and you come and you pick us up, and you change our filthy rags, and you wash us by the Word of God. and you give us yet one more chance. Why do you do it, Lord? Because we're your children. And that's enough for you. And that's enough for me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord God give grace. May the Lord God walk with you in Jesus' name.